part one of the Buzz Bubble interview with Val DeFebo.
Hi, I'm Kevin Kelly, and welcome back to the Buzz Bubble, where we pick the brains of great minds in advertising. This week, we get into the head of Val DeFebo, CEO of Deutsch New York. I'm so excited to have our first female thought leader in advertising on our show. We traveled downtown to the Meatpacking District, where Val gave us a personal tour of the Deutsch New York office that she helped architect. And we got a peek into the world she shares with Chairman Donny Deutsch. You'll see how they tore down the walls between departments and brand teams and find that this metaphor really lives in the Deutsch DNA. The Deutschers, as they call themselves, know no boundaries. And as their leaders profess, great ideas can come from anywhere. Val epitomizes the Deutsch way, and since 1992, has been a key driver in the growth of the company, redefining the agency's integrated, multidisciplinary offering. We discuss everything from the Obama-IKEA guerrilla tactics to Kodak's economically responsible print and prosper video social media campaign. Join me as we climb into the buzz bubble and examine the brain of Val DeFebo right now. Well, Val, thanks so much for climbing into the buzz bubble with me today. I really appreciate you making some time in your very busy schedule.
I'm happy to be the first woman, actually.
Yes, so this is fantastic.
Thank
you. We're excited to have our first woman thought leader in advertising on our show. This is terrific.
Thanks.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what was the roadmap that kind of got you here today. You don't have to go all the way back to finger painting in kindergarten, but, you know, how'd you end up here?
Yeah, it wasn't the finger painting. It was more in college. I was a psych major. And what I thought, what I found most interesting was the way people think and what gets them to change their mind about things or make decisions about things. And so I thought, what industry could I work in where there's actually an influence from studying that kind of behavior? And that led me to advertising. So to make a long story short, I worked on Nabisco and a couple things like that in my past in media. So I started in media.
Oh, okay.
And worked in media for about 5 years and then went to Wellsrich Green. And so I worked at Mary Wells Agency.
Wow.
Yes.
That's great.
And when Mary was still there. And then actually have been at Deutsch for 17 years. And so my road here has been a long one, but it started in account management and it's landed here.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, I didn't know you had worked with Mary Wells, because one of my questions was, you know, the road that women have taken since the Mad Men days of Mary Wells and Phyllis Robinson. And, you know, what's your thoughts on, I know Donnie and the agency are very embracing of women, men, I don't care, you know, actually maybe even sometimes I've heard him quoted as saying, you know, I like working with women better. What's your take on where women are today and, you know, how does that contrast from the Mad Men days of Mary Wells and Phyllis Robinson, which at that time women weren't in any position of power?
No, they weren't. And here's what I'll say. My experience at Deutsch has always been embracive of anybody who's smart. And so, and Donnie in particular has always said an idea can come from anywhere. If someone's doing a great job, they're doing a great job. And frankly, the women in his mind have always been more focused on the tasks at hand. And he always says, I would rather hire a woman than a man. So I was fortunate enough to work with a lot of the women that he hired. And they were all powerhouse women who did a great job. And so I feel like I've learned from them. And I feel like we've done a great job together. The bad news is, when I look outside these walls, I don't see as many women in the industry.
Yeah.
They're not making the noise we're making, and they're not doing the work we're doing, which is really sad, still.
Yeah, and they're just not, you know, out there as much. Well, there's not as many women in these positions, but, you know, this is why it's so nice to have somebody like you on our show, because I want the world to know that, you know, the advertising world to know that, that there's brilliant things coming from everywhere, and so much of it is coming from women. And we just maybe don't know that there's so many great women in positions of power and influence in advertising.
Yeah, generally speaking, women like to give a lot of people credit. That's our nature, right? So we are collaborative and we like to give people credit. And so even when when we talk about what's made me successful here, I don't only look at the women. I say, you know, Donnie has made me successful. Peter Gardner, our media director, has made me successful. All the people I've worked with over the years have made me successful, and in turn, I've helped make them successful. So I see it much more collaboratively than to say, well, Val's running Deutsch. That's not how I feel about it. I think we got great people.
Do you remember, if you Google your name,
I know,
the first thing that comes up is something that says, I don't think of myself as a woman. Do you remember the quote? Do you remember the context? It was a while ago.
How
it's still number one is
how
the
can I forget?
Magic of Google.
Because it is the first thing on Google, and so many people remind me. And what I said, and I believe, is I don't think of myself as a woman first. I think of myself as a business person. And so I guess they cut off the quote where it would be more sexy, you know. But I always thought of myself as a business person first here. I never thought, well, I'm a woman and now I need to think about business. I thought, I'm a business person.
Right.
I happen to be a woman, but, you know, whatever. And yeah, I guess it's much more interesting to write it the way they wrote it. Clearly, you look around this place, I'm clearly a woman. You know, I wear long hair, I wear jewelry, and but I'm pretty outspoken.
That's what I hear.
I'll try to behave myself.
Can you talk about the real meaning of an integrated offering? It's something that's right there in your bio, and it's, you know, one of the things that you really have a handle on. So many people throw that around and don't really know what it means.
Well, we've always been an integrated agency at Deutsch. So since the early 90s, when no one was talking about it, we were talking about integration. And for us, that meant we had a direct offering, we had a full service media offering, we had an interactive offering. And all those people, the people who ran those things, had seats at the table in making decisions. And we always were about making the right decisions for clients' businesses, not our own. So that's what integration meant then. People talk about it now as if a visual or an icon or things have to be held together by some element, I guess.
Right, right.
And that's part of it, because that helps you with money. It helps you make sure that you're spending your money wisely and there's a lot of impressions built against something. But the only way I can really explain it is, if you look at some of our work, like Kodak, or you look at some of the other stuff we're doing, Peter Gardner, our chief media officer, has a seat at the table. And so when we're thinking up an idea for a campaign, a big idea for a campaign, he literally says, well, here's why that works for me. Here's how I can reach those customers. Here are the programs I can work with. Here are the partners I can work with to make that thing come to life. It's one of the litmus tests we use for whether or not something is a big idea. So it's different than just making everything look the same. It's about activating and bringing an idea to life, a big idea to life, across a variety of channels. And it's always been that way for us. So
does the big idea morph as it goes from medium to medium in that integrated campaign? Or is it really always founded on, you know, here's what the campaign's based on, this big idea, and it's that gets integrated. And I'll kind of segue into another question, which you can field either one, is, you know, where does the big idea sit today, or are we in a land of many micro ideas, which people are talking about a lot?
I feel, you know, for us, a big idea has always been an idea that's relevant to people, that touches them in a way, that connects them to culture, or makes them feel particularly moved. So, and I wouldn't say the idea morphs. What I would say is an idea gets expressed differently in different media, but it really sticks to a core idea. And I think when you have an idea that'll motivate your target, will motivate purchase or whatever it is that you're trying to do for your brand, it lives, it becomes alive when you express it slightly differently to reach the different people in different places, or talk to them in the way they're used to being talked to in different places.
Right.
So, I would more, it's a real craft to be able to understand the medium you're working in and be able to execute that way. So,
right. You mentioned Kodak. Maybe some examples from the Print and Prosper campaign. I know that has even changed. It's still Print and Prosper, but even over the last year, the executions are widely different. And kind of, I think, the way you want people to integrate that into their lives has changed a little bit.
Well, I would say that the value proposition, or the real idea behind Kodak inkjet printers, is to tell people that the ink that Kodak provides is cheaper and it is a better value. And so there are lots of people out there who don't print everything they want to print because it's too expensive. They don't let their kids print homework, they don't print photographs as much, right? So, and we know the target. We know that moms are saying, you can print two things tonight, but you can't print 10, right?
Yeah, my four-year-old loves the print button.
Exactly, they'll print the same thing 10 times. My five-year-old does the same thing. I just made a groovy garden and I'm gonna print it 6 times, one for grandma, one for, so, you know, we know that people's behavior was limiting their printing activity, and that wasn't something that was good for them. So our value proposition has always been Kodak ink is a better value for the money, and so our printers are a better value for you overall. And in our first year, we expressed that in a way to really educate people and tell them the story. Now we're having people tell us their stories about how they're using their money that they're saving. And so, you know, we resonated, that message resonated with people right away. They said, if I'm going to save $110 or whatever it is, because you can go on and actually calculate how much you save. Right, there's a place on the website where you go in and you say, this is how much I print, this is how much my kids print, and we'll tell you how much you can save in a year. And so that really resonated with people.
That's it for part one of the Buzz Bubble interview with Val DeFebo. Tune in next week for part two.